Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good morning, church. By the grace of God, I've been asked to speak this message to you this morning, and I want to say a very big thank you to my father, Reverend Richard Whitcomb. I'm very grateful. I don't take it for granted at all. And I also want to thank the Almighty God. Thank you all for coming. Let's bow down our heads in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you so much for this opportunity to speak forth your word. I thank you for all of your beloved ones who have gathered here today to listen to you. I pray that the word of God will come out with power, that it will fall on fertile grounds of the heart, Lord, and be received in the name of Jesus. Father, the entrance of your word, it brings light and understanding to the simple. That is, speak to us, Lord, speak to us. I empty myself of the self, of the flesh, and you, Lord, that you fill me with your spirit in the name of Jesus. I pray that I would decrease, Lord, that you might increase in all of this. In Jesus' mighty name, I've prayed with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. All right, so we begin the new sermon series, Sheroes of Christmas, and we want to look at some amazing women of the Bible who became heroes or sheroes, even ended up in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. We want to look at women who brought us Christmas. And you know that Christmas connotes salvation, deliverance, freedom, and also the destruction of the enemy. Christmas is about the birth of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to set the captive free. And so let's look in Matthew 1 and look at some of the women who are listed there. We have Tamar, who pretended to be a harlot. We have a prostitute, Rahab. We have an adulteress, Bathsheba. And we also have a young widow, Ruth. We have, in addition, a young virgin, a teenager also named Mary. And you wonder, you ask yourself, I mean, what have these women got to do with the lineage of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Specifically, I want to look at the life of Rahab. Now, Rahab was a prostitute. And so when you kind of link it up with a Christmas story, it doesn't exactly fit. And so what can we possibly learn from her? Now, 1 Corinthians 10:11, the Bible makes it clear that all of these things that have happened and have been written in Scripture has been written as examples for us to follow. It is for our admonition, and it is for us to learn. And so today we will learn from Rahab. As a result of that, I'm going to read from Joshua chapter 2, 1 to 7. Okay, the bottom line is that Moses is gone, Moses is dead, and Joshua is now taking over and planning to conquer the city of Jericho. And so he sends two spies into the land, and they go into the house of Rahab. Let's go. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent his message to Rahab, bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I didn't know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them. But in actual fact, she lied. She had actually taken them up and hidden them on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fort of the Jordan. As soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Amen. The first thing that I want to ask you, first question, is that exactly what is it that qualified Rahab to be in the genealogy of Jesus Christ? What does this woman bring to the table? Please take out your sermon notes and fill in the blanks with the word brought. What Rahab brought. The first truth that I want to share with you is that Rahab brought sin. That's what she brought. That's exactly what qualified Rahab. That's what qualifies you, and that's what qualifies me. The Bible says that a prostitute named Rahab, Hebrews 11:31, Rahab the prostitute, James 2:25, Rahab the prostitute. You see, a lot of theologians are trying to say that, you know what, maybe she was not exactly a prostitute. Maybe she was just an innkeeper. She used to keep the brothel, but she wasn't exactly a prostitute. But it is clear from the Hebrew and the Greek that the word that describes Rahab is a harlot, a prostitute. And so although man tries to shy away from some things, God is saying that he is God, and he's able to call each of us, no matter how bad we are, no matter how far we have gone, and just change our story. And that's exactly what he did to Rahab. In Rahab's case, he sent her grace. And I thank God that Rahab identified grace. You know that you and I are saved by grace through faith. But sometimes when grace comes knocking at your door, you can't recognize it. She recognized the grace of God upon her life. The grace came when the two spies came into the brothel. Now those two spies, although they were called spies, they were actually missionaries. They were men of God. And so I thank God that she recognized them, because when grace comes knocking at your door, usually it comes disguised. Rahab is used to handling men in her own way. And so I wonder why Yahweh decided to send men. Why didn't you send women? Why didn't you send teenagers? Why didn't you send children? Rahab has a weakness with men. But in this very area of your weakness, you got to watch it, because that could just be your stepping stone for grace. Yes, and I thank God that Rahab did not hide those men in her bed and inside her covers, but she hid them on the roof. She had to do it differently. And I encourage you and I that do things differently. Put away the flesh. Put away the carnality. Put away the regular way in which you do things. Do things differently, because grace might be disguised in there. And you got to identify it. Also, she was saved by faith also, by grace through faith. Look at this. Joshua 2:8, the Bible says that before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know the Lord has given you this land, and that a great fear of you has fallen upon us. And all who live in this land are melting in fear because of you. She said, we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. This woman was a pagan lady. But then this woman made a declaration. Her statement of faith was so profound. When she says that the Lord your God, the word Lord is written in capitals in the Bible to prove that she was saying that Yahweh is God. She was a pagan, but she knew our God. And she also said, I know that the Lord has given you this land. How do you know? Are you not still living in the land? We have not yet conquered the land. But she was speaking faith. Because to have faith is to be sure of the things that you hope for, and to be certain of the things that you cannot see. And she was very emphatic about her statement. She said, I know, and we have heard. Now, beloved in Christ, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I just want to take it one more time. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. Hearing and hearing. Hearing and hearing. Over time, that which you hear and continue to hear becomes truth inside of you, even if it's a lie. And some of you are on Facebook or on social media, listening to things and listening to things and hearing it and hearing it. And over time, though it's a lie, it has become truth to you, and therefore you have become deceived. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. From the time we were little, we kept on hearing the story of Christmas. We heard how there was a virgin birth, how our Savior was born. Over time, the story never changed. We kept hearing and hearing and hearing. And now we are confident that indeed our Savior was born of a virgin. You got to watch what you listen to, because it can increase your faith in God or increase your faith and your trust in that thing. Beloved in Christ, this woman had a faulty life, but she had faith. The Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. It says that Abraham believed the Lord and it was credited to him as righteousness. Also, the word of God says that whatever is not from faith is sin. I want to plead with you, don't be an unbelieving believer. Many Christians don't believe. Sometimes when they come to me in the office and I tell them, you know, they share their problems and I talk about faith and trust and prayer. And then some of them say, Pastor Adeline, it be faith we go chop. Because they don't trust God. But this pagan girl, she said, for the Lord your God is God. I want to encourage you. Have faith in God and trust and hold on to that which you believe. And some people also say that, you know what? Yeah, I understand the whole faith thing, but like, what should I really do? What should I do? You know, let's, Pastor, like, be practical. Now let me just read the scripture to you. John 6, 28-29, because the disciples were also asking Jesus the same thing. They said to him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, This is the work of God, that you believe in him who sent me. You must believe in the one who sent Jesus. That is the works. And whenever you believe, your faith will precede works. When you believe, you begin to work. James 2:24, the Bible says that you see a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. It also says after that, that it says that Rahab the prostitute was considered righteous for what she did when she gave up lodging, when she gave lodging for the spies. The second truth is what Rahab sought. Exactly what was this woman seeking? What's she looking for? You see, the difference between a hero and a villain is motive. Fill in the blanks with the word sought. Joshua 2:12 to 13, the Bible says that, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family. This is what she's seeking. She's seeking kindness to her family. She said, because I have shown you kindness, give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and my mother, my brothers and my sisters and all who belong to me, that you will save us from death. Beloved in Christ, the first statement is emphatic. She says, swear to me by the Lord. You know why? Because this woman, she deals with men. She knows men. They come to her all the time. That's her business. And inclusive amongst her clients are people who have a wedding band and have said, I do, to their wives. Yes, she knows that some of the men who come to her are supposed to be men of honor in their homes, but they are her clients. And so she doesn't say that, promise me by yourself. You better swear to me by Yahweh, because if you give me a promise that is by Yahweh, I can take it. I want to encourage you not to hold on to the promises of people, men, women, people. When I say men, I'm talking about people. Don't hold on to people's promises, but you have to trust in the Lord and hold on to the promises of God. What was she looking for? I thought that she will ask for money. You stay here overnight. You know what? This is a business. So if you stay here overnight, you got to put something on the table. I thought that she would also ask for, why don't you just spend some time with me? I'm kind of lonely. Let's chat through the night. I thought that she will ask for a plot of land. When you go to the land that is flowing with milk and honey, why don't you give me a portion of the land? I thought that she will ask for the gold and the treasures that they brought from Egypt. But she asked for the salvation of her family. Beloved in Christ, this is a very powerful example for us to follow. Some of us have rejected some of our family members. And some of us also feel that we ourselves have been rejected by our family members. And so we don't pray for them. We don't care about them. We don't even look out for them. Rahab herself probably was rejected. After all, who wants to be associated with a prostitute? You don't want anybody to say, I saw your small sister. Charlie, 1 a.m., Charlie, when I was driving down Lagos Avenue, I saw your small sister. Hey, it's not my small sister. You don't want to be associated with it. Don't want a father doesn't want anybody to hear, to say that your daughter, no. I saw your daughter in prostitution. No, God forbid. And so she herself probably was even rejected. But she sought their salvation. Be encouraged today. Let it be a change in your heart to seek the salvation of all your family and all that belongs to them. She exchanged salvation for destruction, and she sought favor for them. In Deuteronomy 20, verse 16, the Bible makes it clear that she was doomed for destruction. The Bible says that in the cities of the nations that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, do not leave anything that breathes alive. Don't leave anything alive that breathes. Completely destroy them. The Hittites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, all the ites of which Rahab was part. Kill them. So she knew that there was impending danger. She knew that there was destruction. But though she knew it, she still asked that, remember me and my family and save us. Did it happen? Let's see truth number three. What Rahab got. What did she get out of all this? The first truth is that she got a promise. Rahab got a promise. Listen to what the men said to her in Joshua 2:14. Our lives for your lives, the men assured her. If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land. When the Lord God Almighty gives us the promised land. we will treat you kindly and faithfully. Beloved in Christ, I want to encourage you to hold on to the promises of God. You want to hold on to the promises of God because it is the promises of God that is the basis of our faith. It is the promises of God that guides us and leads us in the right direction. Because the promises of God are always yea and amen. It is the promises of God that demonstrates his faithfulness. It's not luck and it's not chance. The promises of God encourages us during hard times and causes us to stand firm and to wage a good warfare. So the woman had received a promise and she was going to stand firm. But it wasn't just a promise. She also had an instruction. There was an instruction. What was the instruction? The instruction was to tie a scarlet cord in her window. I'm just going to read the scripture for you. Joshua 2, 15, 21. But I'm just going to start midway. The man had said to her, "This oath," it means that this covenant that you made us swear, "will not be binding on us unless we enter the promised land," unless we enter the land. It says that the oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless when we enter the land, you have tied this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And unless you have brought your father and your mother, your brothers and all your family into your house. If any of them goes outside your house into the street, their blood will be on their own heads. We will not be responsible. But as for those who are in the house with you, their blood will be on our head if a hand is laid on them. But if you tell what we are doing, we will be released from the oath that you made us swear. She said, "Agreed. Let it be so, as you say." Then she sent them away and they departed. And she tied the scarlet cord in the window. Beloved in Christ, what I see Rahab doing, I see prompt obedience to the word of God. Prompt obedience to the word of God. Look at how simple the instruction is. Tie a scarlet cord on your window. Even my 5-year-old boy can do that. It's a very simple instruction. Just tie the cord on your window. However, if you don't do this instruction, no matter how simple it is, there will be serious consequences. Serious destruction shall come upon you. But if you do this simple instruction, then also there will be a serious reward in that you and your entire family shall be saved. Beloved in Christ, what is the scarlet cord? What is the scarlet cord? Why didn't they say that green cord or white or whatever? What is this scarlet cord that they are asking us to tie on the window? Why scarlet? Why not black? Because by the word of God, scarlet represents sin. The Bible says that though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Scarlet represents sacrifice, offering, gift. When Jesus was about to die, they stripped him and put on a scarlet robe. Scarlet represents royalty and honor. The Proverbs 31 woman, oh, she said that when it snows, she has no fear for her household because they are all clothed in scarlet. Scarlet represents covenant. Scarlet represents the blood of Jesus. Beloved in Christ, how difficult is this instruction? That you plead the blood of Jesus over your family. That you tie the scarlet cloth over your window. That you cover your family with the blood of Jesus. Don't you know that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins? Don't you know that it is the blood of Jesus that justifies us, sanctifies us, washes us, forgives us, cleanses us, frees us, redeems us, rescues us, heals us? It's the blood of Jesus. What is it? What is it that can wash away my pain? What is it that can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Maybe you feel that you are broken. But who was more broken than Rahab? What can make me whole again? There's nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's not the promises of man. It's not the externals like church attendance, those kind of stuff. It's the blood of Jesus that makes me whole again. It's the blood of Jesus, that blood that has already been shed on the cross of Calvary. The cost, the price has already been paid. Nobody's asking you to pay a price. It's been paid. But then grace is saying that accept it. You said I'm too far gone. Are you further gone than Rahab? You said that I don't qualify. Who's talking about qualifications here? Even your sin qualifies you. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus, beloved in Christ. Do you have a scarlet thread in your life? Is there a covenant that you've made between you and God? There ought to be some convictions and some covenants between you and God. Because when you bring God inside the situation, he takes over. It's not your strength anymore. I don't think Rahab thought that some day will come when she doesn't mess up with men anymore. But yes, that day came. That day came. They said that through the very window through which you let us down, you shall tie the scarlet cord on the window. No more will men come in and out of that window, because the scarlet cord must be in place, because we are coming back. Behold, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me. I am coming soon. You do not know the day or the hour, but you better make sure that the scarlet cord is in place. You think the woman was going to go back and live her life, a flimsy way of living like she used to? Don't you think that she was going to wake up every morning and check and see whether the scarlet cord was in place? She was not going to let the storms of life shake away this thread from her window. And some of you, the storms of life and the challenges and the difficulties have caused you to step out of your faith. Yes, you attend church, all right. Yes, you warm up the pews, all right. But you know in your heart that you gave it all up, that you stepped out of the house of God, that you stepped out of the body of Christ. But today I have come to remind you that a day is coming that Reverend has preached on surviving the end times. Behold, we are in the end times. You better get into the Noah's Ark. Otherwise, you shall perish in the flood. You better get into the house of God. You better cover yourself with the blood of Jesus, because the end is near. Beloved in Christ, you have a covenant with God. For Job, it was a covenant with his eyes not to look lustfully at a woman. And usually when I teach the singles, I teach them, make a covenant with God not to look lustfully at a woman with your eyes. You can make a daily covenant. And sometimes they fear, they feel that if they make the covenant, what if they go and spy some girl and then Charlie, they get in trouble. But you know what? Just make it a daily covenant. And Yahweh steps into your situation. I tell them, after all, 24 hours, 10 hours, you are asleep. So just manage the 14. The Lord is with you. He will help you. He will help you. Yeah. Listen, for Rahab, it was a scarlet cord on her window. For Samson, it was 7 locks on his hair. It shouldn't be cut. But Samson, don't you get it, Samson? You have a covenant another doesn't have. This guy can go to the barber, but Samson, you can't. You can't keep messing around with Delilah. Samson, you can't keep doing that. Samson, you can't keep messing around. Samson! But he messed around anyway, and his vision was cut off, and his life came to an end. Beloved in Christ, you got to have a covenant between you and God. For the Israelites, it was the blood on the doorposts. And of all the 10 plagues, of all the 10 plagues, it was only when the blood was applied that the enemy released them. Just go, 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 go. Set them free. Go. When you put the blood of Jesus and you cover your family, Satan can never have a hold. You are released and set free. For me, it was a covenant with my lips, because my lips was all over the place. I could tell you my peace of mind. I would say it as it is. But then, It didn't take long. I saw that there were instructions in the Bible. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Only that which is pleasing and will benefit those who listen. So I had to go to God in prayer and say, Father, these lips, they will worship you and praise you. That these lips will bless and encourage and counsel people. That these lips will not put anybody down anymore. And to the glory of God that he is still working with me under this grace. You got to make a covenant between you and God. What is the scarlet thread in your life? Are there men in the house who, like Joshua, can stand up and say, that as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord? Are there men of honor in the house who will say, as for me and my household, we shall serve the Lord? I will ensure that nobody will be missing in this household. That although my wife has an attitude, I love this woman, that she will not lose her salvation. That although my child is disrespecting me, no, I'm under the grace of God. And I make a declaration over you that you are covered in the blood of Jesus. Are there some women of Zion in this house to rise up and say, I may be struggling in my marriage, but you know what? I still cover you with the blood of Jesus. I will stand in the gap like Rahab did and make sure that me and my entire family are saved. Women in the house created to be helpers, not accusers. I beg you to watch it. When the enemy tempts you to start to accuse, remember, no. I won't succumb to my carnal nature. I will be like Rahab. I will do something different. I will bless you. I will help you no matter what. What is the scarlet thread in your life? The one who keeps his covenant, God will honor. It may be a marriage covenant. Please keep your covenant. God will honor you. The last thing that Rahab got is pardon. Rahab and her entire family were pardoned. I want to encourage you, listen. If you hold on to the covenant, you shall be pardoned. You know that the eye is the entrance to the soul. The five senses can actually get into you. Rahab was told to bind this one, the scarlet cord, on the entrance, on the window. I want to encourage you to watch out and protect the five senses, the window into your life. You got to watch it out. Back in the Garden of Eden, the enemy whispered to Eve through their ear. She turned and looked at the forbidden fruit. She reached out and touched it. And then she probably smelt it. And then she bit it. All of the five senses had been applied. And there was access into her spirit man. Then now, she became a vessel for the enemy to use. And so then she stretched forth and gave to her man. And I wish that the man of honor had said no. But he too. Instead of standing in the gap and covering us with scarlet, he said, okay, let me eat it. I'm eating it because I love you. And as soon as the head sinned, instantly they died in their spirit man. And progressively they died in their soulish man. And ultimately and finally they died in the flesh. You got to obey the simple instructions. Otherwise, the repercussions will come. This woman got pardoned. She and her whole family. And it's interesting that when they went into Jericho to take over the land, they probably were looking out. Where is that house with scarlet? They were looking out for it. And some of us would have said that you're looking for the house to be saved. You go to this bishop's house, that one. They said, no, that one, that Lagos Avenue girl, that one. I said, what? Cannot be. Nobody respects this one. This is probably the reason why there's calamity even on this nation. I said, no, you look on the outside, but God, he looks on the inside. That woman has a covenant with Yahweh. Today, I want to encourage you. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter your background. You need to step out boldly and respond to God. He's calling you. He's calling you. And some of you are thinking, the Bible says, shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? By no means. By no means. When you accept his grace, you don't go back to your old ways. I want to encourage you. When the Lord sent the spies to Rahab, It was just because of Rahab. Just because of Rahab that those spies went there. It wasn't even meant to seek out the land, because the land was going to be overtaken from the exterior. We don't need to get in there and search it out. Yahweh, he does his own thing. But Yahweh sent them because of Rahab. But Rahab changed. She completely changed. This woman, who was once a harlot, now got married to a prince of the tribe of Judah called Salmon. They gave birth to the kinsman redeemer, and he married Ruth and gave birth to Obed, and they had Jesse and then had King David. Wow. And then she became the great-great-grandmother of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our personal Savior, a holy God, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, coming through the lineage of a harlot. There is nothing that God cannot do. You better not keep going, give up on any member of your family. Don't give up on yourself. And don't shut out the grace of God. Respond to grace today. Say yes to Jesus today. Do you know what happened to Harlot? She moved from being a lady of the night to being a lady of the light. From destruction, she moved to salvation. From a prostitute to a princess. From a harlot to a hero. From the house of shame to the hall of fame with the likes of Abraham. From ordinary to extraordinary. That is the God. That is the kind of God that we serve. He is faithful. He is just. And he is true. He says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, you and your household. And whatever he says is true. He says that if you are willing and obedient, you shall indeed eat the good of the land. Beloved, in Christ, let's not be myopic. Let's not think about ourselves alone. Let's not think about our comfort and our discomfort. I wondered to myself, why didn't Satan bite Adam and Eve's legs in the garden and kill them over there? Because he wanted Cain, and he got him. He wanted you and I. He wanted Esau. He wanted more than just the two of them. Beloved in Christ, he has been with the Father before, and he knows how the Father does things. The Father always wants more. Be fruitful and multiply. Don't let your salvation end with just you. Mama must be saved. Dada must be saved. Your children must be saved. Your husband must be saved. Your wife must be saved. Even the one who divorced you must be saved. I believe that you get a message. And so I ask that we bow down our heads in prayer. Father, the word has come out of God. Your word has come out of Father. I believe that it has been received on fertile ground. Lord, do what only you can do. Come and have your way. Take control. Daddy, transform our hearts. Renew our minds, Lord. Cause us to have love for one another. In the name of Jesus, I pray that everybody here will stand in the gap and intercede for their families, that all may come to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, I have prayed with thanksgiving. Amen and amen.